by now, hopefully you figured out that we spoil things in the show.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Whatever Show, episode 21. We missed the milestone 20 episode because that was with Marv, and we didn't know if we were going to call it episode 20 yet, so...
I retroactively called it 20, so we're just going to pretend like this is just 21, straight up.
This is 21, and we knew what it was right off the bat. Are you proud?
Yeah, that's two in a row.
Yeah.
I mean, if you don't count the Marv one. Otherwise, it's just, you know, the second time we've ever gotten it right.
So, we have a ton of stuff to talk about.
Yeah, we actually, this is going to sound a little weird, but we haven't recorded for probably a good 3 weeks now. No. And the last one we recorded, actually, you guys haven't heard yet because I haven't put it out. And that's the Star Wars extravaganza for episode 2. Don't worry, those are coming soon. So you'll see those up in the next couple of weeks, but we haven't recorded for a good 3 or 4 weeks. So we've got so much to talk about, I don't even know what we're going to do.
Probably have a really long show and spend a good amount of time talking about some TV shows that we're mostly or completely caught up on at this point.
Oh, yeah. So this week we're talking about we're going to talk about a whole lot of stuff, but we're going to start with The Flash. Let's start with The Flash.
Let's.
Yeah. What was this one about?
The most recent one?
It's been like 3 days.
We've only ever talked about the premiere episode.
Oh, my gosh. So there's been a lot of stuff going on in The Flash.
Yeah.
So let's get caught up really quick. What's happened in The Flash in the last 3 or 4 episodes? Well, number one, we still don't have a Ronnie back.
No, but the old guy from the Titanic almost died.
Yeah, that was unfortunate. We were really scared. That happened in the most recent one, I believe. We get an...
It's 2 episodes long because he kind of... His health started to fail.
And they decide that they've got to find another half of Firestorm or he's like screwed.
Yeah, and they're
talk about needy.
Yeah, they're able to locate 2 possible matches, one of which... looked real good on paper, but in practice, not so much.
He turned out to be kind of a total douche.
Yeah, he was a dick.
Yeah. And I think ended up being the villain of that episode. And then the other guy, of course, who to me, I really thought was Vic Stone for like a long time. I was like, are they just doing Vic Stone and they're just calling him something else?
Yeah, no.
Yeah. But no, it wasn't. It was another guy whose name I've already forgotten again. And he successfully merges, which... is looking pretty bad for Ronnie Raymond. Like, maybe he's like dead for, or at least he's going to be dead until the CW figures out what to use him for.
Yeah. So one of the things I've noticed about both The Flash and Arrow as of this season is they're kind of getting new 52E / DCUE on us. And in the new 52 / DCU, Ronnie, I can't remember if Ronnie's there or not. I don't know if he is, but there's definitely a black kid that is the primary,
Firestorm,
at least outwardly. And then I don't know if Dr. Stein is actually in his head or if it's Ronnie Raymond in his head. I don't know. There's a big mix up.
Yeah, I haven't read that far, I think.
So
what else we got in The Flash in the last 3 episodes? So that was probably the short synopsis of the most recent one. Before that, I think we get to see some Flash Jay Garrick team up.
We got to talk about the second episode just because of the Jay Garrick Flash, Barry Allen Flash team up.
Yeah.
And the imagery that we got toward the end of that episode.
Oh, yeah. That was
pulled straight from the cover of an old issue of The Flash.
It was not only an old issue of The Flash, but I think it was the first Barry Allen, Jay Garrick team up issue.
Yeah.
There's a lot of side by sides. If you Google this, or if I remember, I'll put it on the show notes, which is code for I'm going to totally forget and go Google it yourself. The cover is basically ripped and dropped right into The Flash, which looks gorgeous, first off, and was a really super nice callback. And I think a really good sort of inroads to tell you that they know what they're doing, kind of, or they're going with some of the cooler things about the source material.
Yeah, because they took an image that was relatively iconic anyway within the comic world, and... they were able to capture it on screen, you know, and so hats off to the 2 actors or 3 actually actors that were involved with that particular setup, as well as the director for being able to get that all done so perfectly, because it was amazing. In fact, when I was watching it, I was watching it with my wife and I was like,
that's the thing.
Oh my
God. I did the same thing. Like, I paused for a second and I went and looked for the picture because I was pretty sure that's what they were doing. We've got some Patty Spivot action. Barry looks like he might be finally moving on a little bit.
He kind of doesn't want to, but I think he's involuntarily doing so.
Yeah, he's sort of reluctantly trying to, you know, pay attention to the fact that Iris totally rejected him.
Which I think at this point, it's only a matter of time, but they gotta fill in the gap somehow. And I think really it's a matter of, well, here's the deal. My fiance killed himself so that you lived and all that kind of stuff at this point. So lots of cool stuff with the Patty Spivak character, though, because you find out she's kind of got a reason for wanting to be on Joe's task force. And currently the task force consists of her and Joe.
Yeah.
But she's really good in terms of being able to like figure things out, although she does tend to track toward metahuman immediately as opposed to like she tries to make the evidence fit her theory rather than trying to develop her theory from the evidence sometimes.
Yeah, like if they show up on scene and there's a bunch, you know, a bank robbery and a couple of guys are shot, they're gonna be like, maybe it's a metahuman who can shoot bullets from his fingertips.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, Joe's like, it's a fucking gun, you moron.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, so Patty Spivak's in there, which is kind of cool. And then another sort of big part, actually, this is kind of a really big part because I think I know where they're going with it a little bit, is Iris's mom is alive.
Yep.
And it turns out she was a junkie.
Yep.
And now she's wanting to get back in Iris's life.
Yep.
And the last episode ends with a reveal.
There's a kid.
Yeah.
Iris has a brother.
A little something West. I wonder if that's a Wally West.
Or it could be a Wally West's parent.
Yeah, and we know that Wally West in this episode, or in this incarnation, I believe they've cast the actor, and he is going to be black. So I'm thinking if it's not a parent or something like, or if it's not just Wally West, then yeah, it's definitely Iris's, you know, bloodline. So.
Yeah, I mean, there's a little bit of, they could go either way, because comic book theories is that Wally West is Iris's nephew, but it doesn't necessarily have to go that direction.
No,
it could be her brother easily.
Since we've introduced Earth 2, there's all kinds of ways that they could tie that in.
Speaking of Earth 2, we have another visitor from Earth 2, don't we?
Yeah, we got a few.
But specifically,
yeah,
Harrison Wells.
Yeah.
Which honestly,
so the two
I couldn't have imagined this show going on without Tom Cavanaugh, so I'm super stoked.
We got two of probably the best sort of reveal teaser, you know, nerderies at the end of the last episode, and that spoilers, which by now hopefully you figured out we spoil things in the show, but the ending with the shark thing, so Shark King shows up and you're like, what the fuck, because that was a total, and then how no, what saves the day.
I'm gonna stop you right there, because at the beginning of that episode when Spivak was going off about there being some kind of weird man shark thing,
yeah,
I was like, they're doing it, they're gonna bring in the Shark King, and my wife was like, is that somebody? And I was like, yeah.
See, so. I was skeptical because I didn't think that they would do that, because I thought it was a little too goofy even for the Flash, but nope, there he is.
Yeah.
And then who comes in to save the day? Fucking Wells does.
Yep.
Bust him out with some, you know, super cannon thingy.
That he stole
from
Cadmus Labs.
On Earth 2, presumably.
No.
Oh, no, that was...
Because that's a plot point in this most recent episode, because there's a break-in, and...
Yeah, you're right.
And What's-Her-Face from the original Flash series says that she saw Wells, and they're like, no, he's dead. And she's like, I kind of know him when I see him.
Yeah, we've seen him, yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, that about catches us up on it. And like presumably every episode has some kind of bad guy sort of that Zoom is sicking on Barry Allen. It wasn't as prevalent as much in, well, it was, because that's what the Shark King was there for.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, every episode so far this season has had some kind of bad guy that Zoom is tossing at people.
I don't remember if they reveal it by one or two, but by now the Flash knows that. And the whole Star Labs team know that Zoom is sending these guys through just to kill Barry, basically. They don't know why or anything like that, and we don't have any motivations. We still haven't seen Zoom on screen that I'm aware of, unless we saw maybe like some shaky, like, we haven't gotten a real proper reveal of Zoom.
we haven't really seen much of Zoom. We'll say that.
Yeah.
So
I mean, overall, the Flash remains awesome as usual. Like, I've been very happy with this season, continuing, especially the momentum that they kept up in the first season. So,
yeah, really well put together season so far. I expect we're probably not all that far away from having a robotic bee episode come up pretty soon. But it is what it is. I mean, they got to do something to slow the momentum a little bit, because otherwise we're just going to all have heart attacks before the season's over.
It's possible. Which takes us, of course, to the Arrow universe. So over on the Green Arrow, I guess the show's still called the Arrow, but he's the Green Arrow now.
He is the Green Arrow as of episode one, yes.
On the Green Arrow, we got a lot of stuff going on.
We do.
Probably the most prominent that I can think of is we just brought somebody back from the dead, like full on Lazarus Pit action.
Well, let's talk about how we got there a little bit, because we didn't really explore it too much in episode one, but by episode two, we find out the reason that Thea is so angry.
Oh yeah.
And
which of course we've known for a long time being nerds, but it's revealed in the narrative.
Yeah, yeah. And so she finds out that she actually was brought back using the Lazarus Pit. And then stupid Laurel is like, wait a minute, there's something that can bring people back from the dead?
Yeah.
Hey Thea, let's go to
And everybody's like, you don't want to do that. That's yeah. bad. And even Malcolm's like, no, seriously, like, I know I'm normally an asshole, but for real, like, that's bad.
For real, I'm not kidding. Don't do this.
Don't do that. And then, like, 10 minutes later, Malcolm's like, all right, I know you're pissed off at me, daughter, and so instead of buying you a pony, I'm just going to bring your friend back from the dead.
Yeah, but you're still not going to like it.
Yeah. Nope. She's still pissed off.
So, did we get the reveal that Lance, Detective Lance.
We do. That happens really
early. Is that in episode
one? It's either episode one or episode two.
Where he's working with Damian Dark.
Yep, we find out Lance is working with Damian Dark.
So and I'm gonna say this too. Paul Blackthorne, who plays Detective Lance, is killing it this season.
Oh dude, he tore shit up in the last episode. Yeah. Like absolutely phenomenal. Like I think he kind of just stepped above and was like, well, I'm the best actor on the show.
Yeah, like he's whatever. He's always kind of a stoic prick.
Yeah.
But this episode, like he really just went balls out and acted his ass off. So
yeah, it was really good.
Yeah, so we got a lot of stuff going on with Damian Dark still. We have I don't know, because I don't know what the main point of the season other than Damian Dark is so far at this juncture. So the episodes are well put together, but they don't necessarily form one complete picture so far like the Flash has. So this is kind of hard to break down in a
Yeah. Well, we are getting some, well, we could talk a little bit about the side plots. There's some interesting side plots coming along in ways like Felicity's phone's ringing from beyond the grave, right. Essentially. So Felicity is getting weird messages sent by something that looks to be controlled by Ray Palmer, was controlled by Ray Palmer, she assumes. And they're exploring that whole thing right now, I think. I don't think they've revealed...
There's been no reveal. She started listening to the message, but I don't think we've heard all of it or yeah. seen everything that he wants us to see yet. So
correct. So that's going on, which is pretty cool. We have Curtis, who is basically like season one Felicity, which I really like.
His character's super cool so far.
Yeah.
Gay also. Not that important as the overall storyline.
Is he in the narrative? I didn't even notice.
I think it's season two or episode two of the season where was it episode one or two where she was supposed to fire people?
Oh, it was episode one. You're right.
And he starts talking about, well, his boyfriend's been wanting to take a vacation. And
oh, yeah. No, so, you're right. You're right.
Like
yeah.
they just kind of slipped that in there and didn't really revisit it afterward. But
see, OK, I want to very briefly touch on the Supergirl pilot, which I forgot to put in the show notes. But there you go. If you want, like, here we go. We're promoting a homosexual agenda with this episode or that one single little line. Or you could make that argument that that's what they're doing. Whereas in the Supergirl pilot, they just come out and slap you in the face with it. Like he might, like the Arrow equivalent would be instead of him saying that, he would have said, "Well, I like to suck cocks, and I guess you guys are firing me because of that," or something like that.
Yeah, and that's that's kind of the thing too. And I mean, maybe some people would call it it's promoting an agenda or whatnot. But in this case, I think it's actually just taking something that a lot of, maybe not a lot, but there are still people today that think that this is a bad thing.
Right.
And they're taking it and they're saying, you know what, this is what this is. And that's okay. And now we're moving on.
Yeah, they're normalizing it. It is essentially like it's not a plot point. It's scenery. They don't slap you in the face with it. It's a throwaway line, you know, but it's exactly what you'd expect in that sort of situation. Like it is a very natural line and delivered in a very natural way. Whereas in the Supergirl pilot, they're, you know, again, pushing a different agenda, which is fine because let's face it. I mean, we all do this and comics has been notorious for normalizing these things a little bit ahead of their time anyway. So that to me is totally fine. But in the Supergirl pilot, they just come out and say it in a way that they might as well look directly in the camera and tell you, the audience, hey, like we're talking to you, pal. Like,
yeah. Like if this was porn, Like, the dude would just literally be hitting the chick in the face with his cock at this point.
Right. It's, like, not... It has all of the subtlety of, you know, catching a train with your mouth. So,
Again, right way to do things.
Yeah. Try that, every writer on Supergirl.
Please.
So, back to the Arrow universe, we are getting some hints that the rate... At least... we got the big hint in the end of the last season, but we're getting hints now in the narrative for the rest of the characters that Ray Palmer is not quite all the way totally dead.
Right.
Or dead at all. We've got the next part, which is, you know, we found out that Lance is working with Damian Dark, and we've taken, what's her face? Blonde Canary.
Sarah.
Sarah. They've taken Sarah to the Lazarus Pit. Brought her back to life. Got a little, like, Pet Cemetery crazy shit going on right now.
Dude, speaking of that, when they dug her up and they took that lid.
Oh, dude, that was sick.
That desiccated corpse was amazing.
Yeah, like, I was impressed with how they did that because I was also slightly revulsed. But at the same time, I was like, you know, that's how I'd picture that.
How much Green Lantern stuff have you read so far?
Not a lot.
So you haven't read any, like, the Blackest Night stuff?
No, I don't think so.
Because the Black Lantern... His rings actually reanimate dead corpses, and the way they did that corpse in that episode was very reminiscent of how those corpses looked, in the comic book series when that was happening. So, I thought it was, I don't know if it was an homage intentionally, but they were on the mark. So,
it looked really cool in the worst kind of way, which is perfect for that scene. You should be a little bit, I think, revulsed by it.
Yeah,
which I was, but then I was like, oh, sweet, nice job. So they brought Sarah back. She's a little totally nuts still. I guess the other biggest plot point of the season is Ollie's decided to run for mayor, and they've upgraded their digs. Like,
yeah. He went to Blood's old campaign headquarters and bought it, and it already had a secret lair built in. So he had it upgraded, and they're still working out the bugs because it's right below a subway or something like that. But
yeah, and it's also gigantic and full of huge amounts of tech. And this is actually one of the few things that bothered me about this is, like, Ollie doesn't have any money. I mean, it's not like I don't have any money. Like, Ollie doesn't have any money. Like, I don't have any money. But Ollie doesn't have, like, millions of dollars to waste on secret projects like Bruce Wayne money.
No, but he is banging the CEO of Palmer Corp or Palmer Tech.
I guess you could. Yeah. You think this is just Felicity embezzled the shit out of that company?
Oh, she already contributed to his campaign. So, it's like, I mean, you know what I mean? Like, not like that.
See, folks. Another disparity amongst the common man and the superhero, just embezzle funds from Palmer Tech.
Yeah.
Anyway, Ollie probably does have some money stashed away, and they could explain it away for about 5 minutes when they reveal that on the island he stashed, you know, millions of, you know, drug smuggling dollars or something. So,
yeah, they obviously bought a nice house in the suburbs before the season started. So,
yeah.
I mean, maybe it was a rental, but I doubt it.
Yeah.
You're not going to rent a house like that.
Yeah. Anyway, it just kind of bugged me watching it the first time. But yeah, they go to sweet new Arrow Cave.
Yeah.
Quiver, even. They get a sweet new Quiver. We're going to go with Quiver because that's the best continuity.
Yeah. And then Thea's really excited.
Yeah.
Totally normal now that she's killed somebody, too. That's the other thing we didn't talk about.
Oh, right. Yeah.
So Thea has an overwhelming urge to kill every so often now because the Lazarus Pit changes you in a way that makes you want to destroy the person that caused you to have to be there in the first place. And since that person is already dead in Thea's case, she now just has an overwhelming sense to kill every few weeks. And if she doesn't, then she goes nuts.
Yeah. And somebody's, it's kind of cool how they reveal that, because Merlin basically feeds her to league guys.
Yeah. Basically, he was like, look, there might be this old sage that lives out beyond the boondocks, and we can go there in the morning and see if he can fix you. And so in the middle of the night, then he has some of his men break in and try to attack her, and she kills them all. And then all of a sudden she feels better.
Yeah. He's just like, well, never mind. The secret is killing people.
Yeah. He was like, there's no sage.
Yeah. No sage. Just killed people.
So, I don't think we were surprised at all that he lied.
So I think that brings us pretty much up to speed on Arrow season 4 so far. We're four episodes in.
And we are, this next episode is going to be the one that I think a lot of people have been looking forward to since the season started, because it was hinted at already. And this is where we get to meet Constantine, if we haven't already met him from his now canceled TV show.
Yeah.
Which I didn't watch at all, and I probably should.
The same. And another big spoilers, I'm going to give you one, two, three. Okay, so I've already seen a promo pic which shows Constantine and one of the other main characters whom I've already forgotten, probably Laurel, I think, standing around, you know, some sort of seance circle over Sarah's body. So, and I guess that's how she turns into the whole White Canary and gets her soul back and shit like that.
Kind of hoping that he helps fix Thea a little bit, because I'm kind of tired of the
broody, whiny, bitchy Thea.
Yeah, I love Thea as a character, but the whole thing that, oh, her and Ollie are best friends. Oh, now they're at odds. Oh, now they're best friends. Now they're at odds again.
I would kind of really dig it if they fixed her like homicidal rage, but left some of the, like, I like how crazy she got in the first episode.
Yeah, make her still be a badass when she fights.
Yeah.
Just not because of a bloodlust.
And the one-liners and sort of like reckless abandon parts were cool, but yeah, maybe just not have her kill everybody.
Yeah.
All right. So, overall feeling on Arrow season 4?
Best season so far.
I don't know if I'm going to go that far, but season 3 was a real downturn in the show, and season 4 I think is definitely picked back up for me. So season 2 I think is probably my favorite season of Arrow. This one notwithstanding, cuz I don't really know how it's going to turn out, and I actually really kind of like the first half of season 3. But this one so far is killing it.
This is here where I'm at with this season 2, and it's funny because I the first episode ends with Ollie being met by Barry Allen in a cemetery because somebody important to the show has died. And I was thinking about that when the second episode of the season started, and then I haven't thought about it again. And then about halfway through this most recent episode, I was like, wait a minute. There's still somebody that's going to die. So that just shows the amount of content they're giving us with each new episode and how well it's being delivered, because if it can make us forget like one of the key plot points of the entire season that quickly.
Yeah. They definitely seem to have fixed a lot of the pacing issues that I think season 3 had. And overall, they're just writing better characters this season. Like, the characters are, I think, more believable, and just less of the aspects that I completely hated about the second season, which was basically everybody being a whiny little bitch all the time.
Yeah, I don't.
Or third season.
I don't detest Laurel this season, which is saying something.
It's true, but I'm not sure how much of that is because she's actually a whole lot better, or because she hasn't been given enough lines to hate her, because quite honestly, there's not a whole lot of Laurel action right now.
This most recent episode had quite a bit of it, because it dealt a lot with her and her relationship with her dad and trying to, you know, make him love her again by bringing her dead sister back to life.
Yeah, but see, then she was still kind of crazy. Like, I was still kind of like, Laurel, stop being a moron.
Yeah, there was a little bit of that. And that's part of what I don't like about her most of the time. But I think her overall character, I think, is improved. And we also get to see her use her canary cry in the most recent episode.
Yeah, I like that. And then it didn't work on one of the guys. And then they came back and used the cry again a little bit later. And like, oh, we fixed it.
Yeah. Well, they were able to jam it for whatever reason.
Yeah.
Because they were an anti-superhero.
Yeah, superhero task force.
So, because they know all of the weapons for all of the superheroes.
Yeah, I mean, Cisco made it and then sent the schematics straight to the SCPD.
Yeah, that is the problem that I do have with the Laurel character still this season. And actually, it's kind of for all of them, because they got their asses absolutely handed to them by a bunch of dudes that had never even technically fought a superpowered vigilante.
This is what kills me, too. This happens in The Flash, and we've talked about this already. Like, on the one hand, The Flash can stop a singularity by running around it so goddamn fast. And then on the other hand, he gets defeated by bees. Regular speed.
Yeah.
Well, bees.
And look at Thea. Like, she gets her ass kicked by these fucking cops that are part of a task force that's never been used. But then, like, two episodes prior, like, she literally just killed three members of the League of Shadows.
Yeah. And it gets even more ridiculous.
Or assassins, or whatever the league is.
Especially when Ollie comes into play, because in the last season, we saw Ollie kill Ra's, or take out Ra's. Ra's al Ghul, one of the, you know, biggest fighters, best fighters in the DC universe.
The guy who killed Ollie earlier in the season.
Yeah. And who is a nemesis for Batman, which, you know, power level wise, I think the Green Arrow has always fallen a little bit lower than Batman because, I mean, we argue about whether or not Superman can beat Batman, let alone another regular, you know, person. So we see Ollie kick Roz's ass. And then, of course, we see Thea get her ass handed to her by a bunch of, you know, cops. She beats Ollie earlier in the season. You know, like she gets pissed off and beats Ollie up in one of the episodes. Who just beat Ra's al Ghul. So by, you know, proxy, you'd think then Thea can handle Ra's.
Or a couple of cops.
And then, you know, the short of it is the power level dynamic or what the fighters are capable of is so plot driven. It's to the point of stupidity.
Yeah. Like, yeah. Like they're going to need to start writing the plots a little bit better so that they can still be ass kickers. Full-time. Because like, they are. I mean, if you read the comic books, like, they kick ass. Sometimes they get beat up, but usually it's because it's by some new big bad that nobody's ever seen before.
Right. They either need to be getting beat up. Like, Ollie getting his ass kicked by Roz was exactly what I expected. Like, when he was holding his own, I was like, this is going to be... Well, first off, it's the mid-season, so it's not like this is going to turn out, you know, as a win. But Ollie getting his ass kicked by Roz made perfect sense. Ollie getting his ass kicked by a couple of regularly trained, you know, street cops. Okay, I know we're talking about no, they just had task force weapons, right?
I think they were the task force, but I don't they'd never been put to use before.
Yeah, in a one-on-one, like, or, you know, I guess 3-on-3 or whatever it is. Like, it's not like they were greatly overwhelmed or that they had some, you know, special tactic or something like this. It's just like they got their asses handed to them by cops. And that type of disparity happens all the time, which just drives me nuts. Like, and they hint at this all the time. Ollie is supposed to be this super badass character, and then Thea totally beats him up because she gets mad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's all right. So
stop doing that.
Still amazing show so far this season. Just, you know, get your shit together, people.
Yeah. I mean, it's fine. Just come up with realistic reasons for them to get their asses kicked. That's fine. Not saying they can't lose, just they shouldn't lose in stupid places like that.
So, where to next? I don't want to talk about the next thing yet because that's the money shot. I want to save that.
All right. So, let's go to the DC universe. Or we'll stick around in the DC universe, actually, since the Flash and Arrow are technically there. So, first up, we talked about rumors of the Killing Joke coming to the animated screen soon. We've already told you that Mark Hamill is going to be reprising his role as the Joker. We told you Kevin Conroy is coming back as the Joker, too, for the Killing Joke. One of the things we didn't know until now, though, is that the movie is getting an R rating.
Exciting.
Super exciting, because this, at least to me, tells me that they understand enough of the source materials that they're going to go whole hog on it. So,
yeah.
So anyway, quick rumor, but...
And also, just to clarify, it's we don't have two people playing the Joker.
What did I say?
Conroy's playing Batman.
Yeah, Conroy's still going to play Batman. Sorry. See, this is why I took the dart gun away, because I wouldn't make it through an episode. More on DC. We have a Flash movie director.
Do we?
Do you know this guy?
No, I didn't even read the stupid show notes.
Don't think I really knew this guy much.
Seth Graham?
Something like that.
Smith?
Yeah, why not?
Something? All right, so some dude that we've never heard of is going to direct The Flash, played by a dude that I've not really seen in much...
Yeah.
Except for in a video where he was extremely high and talking about The Flash.
This actually doesn't bother me. I like unknown actors in this case. Like, I know Grant Gustin was on Glee before this, but having never seen a single episode of Glee.
Was he in Glee?
I think so.
Wow.
Something like that. Or High School Musical or some shit like that. Like
some bullshit.
Yeah. Like, I know he was in that, but relatively unknown outside of, you know, I like seeing characters like that. You know, they're doing the opposite thing with Ben Affleck as Batman, but... that to me looks like it's playing out well because Ben Affleck is just Bruce Wayne and has been forever. So,
yeah.
Last up, we have the Cartoon Network confirming they've got another Justice League animated series in the works.
Which I'm going to actually have to go through and watch the other ones that they've already got because I haven't seen them all.
I love this idea. In fact, I was recently watching Justice League War. I think, which is the adaptation of the first few issues of the New 52 Justice League, where they fight Darkseid for the first time in this continuity. And I'm really kind of hoping they lead towards that direction. Like, I actually do really like the art style in that movie, although I'm going to miss the, you know, classic Tim Verse Justice League styles, so it wouldn't surprise me if they stuck pretty close to that either. But I'm excited for this.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm super excited, and I'm also looking up Grant Gustin as we speak. And yes, he was in Glee. Also, 90210.
Wow. And then they let him be a superhero.
In an episode of CSI Miami. But I think everybody that's ever acted has been in an episode of CSI Miami or CSI right. or Law and Order or something.
You should see if Ralph Garman got a speaking part in CSI Miami at some point.
Oh, good old Ralph Garman.
Yeah. So that's our DC news. Over on the Marvel side of things, we have ABC reportedly prepping a Marvel comedy called Damage Control, which I'm guessing is subject to change because we're still in the very early stages, in which we basically have a cleanup crew go behind the the Avengers when they wreck New York City.
Or S.H.I.E.L.D. when it wrecks wherever it's at.
Yeah.
And blows up half of Argentina or something.
Right.
Which we should talk about S.H.I.E.L.D. too.
Yeah, we should talk about S.H.I.E.L.D.
Because it's definitely a show that I was not into really at all, except for in certain key points. The first season, most notably, the show actually picked up and got really, really good right about the same time that it crossed over with events from Captain America Winter Soldier.
Yeah, definitely. In fact, that's when the show became watchable to me. Like, yeah. I was doing it more out of like brand loyalty than actually liking the show.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. Which is too bad. And the reason it's too bad is because I love the character of Coulson so much in the movies.
Oh yeah.
That when I saw that they were going to put him in a TV series and that Joss Whedon was, you know, producing the TV series, I was like, holy fucking shit, this is going to be good.
Yeah.
And then I was just like, holy shit, I don't even care what happens next.
Nope.
But I like Eddie, brand loyalty caused me to stick around. And if I didn't watch it, at least when it was on, I waited until it was on Netflix and binge watched the entire thing like I did with season two recently. And actually season two picks up quite a bit, especially about midway through. And they really start to kind of get into the Inhuman storyline.
Yep.
And then now this season, I haven't watched a bad episode of it yet. I'm not all the way caught up. I still have an episode and a half left to watch, but
no, I really like this season. And I think this show went from a, like, I'll watch it when I get time to, like, I watch it every Tuesday now. Like, I have a 2-hour block basically set aside to watch The Flash and Agents. Everybody's just really nailing it this season. Like, first off, the storylines are more interesting to me, but all of the actors in the show, like, the if you go back and watch the first season, it's just so cringingly bad how the characters are written and things like that, compared to how they are now. Like Fitz and Simmons with the most recent episode stick out the most to me, but everybody, Ward, Daisy, Nye, Sky, and so on, are all just such better characters now, and they're doing so much more with them that's actually interesting at this point. So
yeah, I really, so far, I've only watched the first 3 episodes at this point, but it's heads and tails better than how the previous 2 seasons have started for the show. So
are you caught up? No, I don't think you're caught up because
no, I've only watched the first 3 episodes. Yeah, there's been 5 out now, so I still have.
The most recent episode, I think, is the one called 4,277 hours or something like that. Some 4,000 number of hours. Where they reveal what happened to Simmons when she got sucked into the QB thing. That happened last season. So if you watch season 2, you should know that.
The end of episode 3 is her talking about having to get back to the planet for whatever reason. And that's where the episode cuts off.
Yeah. So this is one of my favorite seasons of the show. Or definitely one of my favorite episodes of the show. It's a little like an episode in the bottle, kind of. Because it's very different in feel and lots of stuff, feel, cinematography, etc., to the rest of the show, but it's a really good one. So
you can do that though when you're producing a good show the rest of the time. Smallville's a good case in point with this, especially season 10. By the time season 10 had come around, all the executive producers left, and basically Tom Welling had the sole
do what you want with it.
Yeah, and there was an episode that he actually had Justin Hartley, who played Oliver Queen in that show, direct it. And it was an episode where he and Clark were actually stranded in the Phantom Zone, and Zod had taken them prisoner there. Uh-huh. And that entire episode had a completely different feel to it because there was nothing bright and shiny because the whole thing took place in the Phantom Zone and whatnot. It very much an episode in a bottle kind of a thing. And it was, but it was well done. And the rest of the series was also well done around it. So it took you away from what you were used to for a week, but it was fine.
Yeah.
So
anyway, if you gave up on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., especially in the first season, I would really pick it up, especially around the episode. I don't know. It's probably episode 13 or 14 in season one. There's a couple of boring ones. And then around the mid season, where it crosses over with the events of Captain America 2, the show just gets good and gets progressively better, I think, as time goes on. So,
yeah. And then, you are going to get, it's going to feel stagnant again at the beginning of season two. But, what I did is I just took a couple days where I had nothing but time on my hands and, put it on TV in the background and played a lot of Minecraft.
Yeah, that's fair. Next up on our Marvel docket, we have Netflix is releasing Jessica Jones, or they just released a Jessica Jones trailer, I should say. Sorry. And it's amazing.
I haven't watched it yet. Probably should have done that before we started the show, but
oh yeah, go watch it out. So if you're like me and you knew basically nothing about Jessica Jones prior to hearing that Netflix was going to be producing a series, the trailer is really good and looks super interesting to me. And then I read some more of the backstory on Jessica Jones, and I'm like, this is now like a day one watch for me. Like, I don't know if it's going to be like a stay up and binge as many as I can before I fall asleep, like Daredevil was when it released on Friday at midnight or something like that. But it's definitely like, I'll probably be done with it by the end of the weekend type of thing, unless it totally sucks. But I don't see that happening.
I have the privilege of working on Saturdays where I'm basically in my office completing projects and whatnot. So it's probably going to be one of those situations where I just go to work and watch Jessica Jones all day.
Nice.
It's so fun having these shows like Jessica Jones and Daredevil and you know, presumably we're going to get Luke Cage later on and some other characters, which we're going to talk about here in a few minutes, the introduction of, you know, Frank Castle.
Yeah.
Into the whole continuity is pretty badass.
Yeah. So anyway, watch the Jessica Jones trailer. If you're, know nothing about it, just, you know, Google a little bit about that because it gets interesting pretty quickly. And it's a different kind of character, especially for Marvel. It definitely doesn't feel like a Marvel character to me. Jessica Jones almost actually feels more of like a Dark Horse Image type of storyline that just happens to be set in the Marvel universe, which so far looks rad.
And if this is your first time listening to the show, we talked about this on a previous episode a little bit about Jessica Jones, and actually we linked an article that actually does a pretty fair job of giving you an overview of the character without making you go back and read every issue that she's been involved in and stuff. So go check that out too if you haven't already seen it.
Yep. After that, we've also got a promo for season two of Daredevil, which the promo I think is not really super interesting aside from the last 35 seconds, I think.
Yeah, the first three quarters of the promo are just basically like, hey, these are all the reasons why the first season of Daredevil was cool and you should go watch it.
Which is fine. I mean, that's how they do a lot of promos, but you get to see some cool stuff coming in season two. And so we see the Punisher skull. Mm-hmm. So we know Frank Castle is going to be there somewhere. We see what appears to be Elektra wrapping up in the famous red. I don't know. What is it called when they cover the mouth? You know, the bandana thing. Whatever.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's Elektra. She's going to be there at some point.
We actually got to see Frank Castle's head, too. We saw the back of his head.
Oh, that's true.
And his jacket.
Yeah.
It wasn't just the skull.
It's true.
So, that's really exciting news coming from Netflix.
We also finally in the Marvel Universe, we linked up the Daredevil NYCC footage, New York Comic Con, of course. They did a panel. So that was a pretty fun watch, too. So go check that out.
Did we talk about Daredevil and how Marvel tried to use it as leverage to get Fantastic Four back? Have we talked about that yet?
I don't know if we talked about it on a mic before.
Yeah.
But I think it's come up.
Yeah, I don't know if we talked about it on the show. If we did, we're repeating ourselves, but it's our show, so whatever.
Yep.
Before Fox produced the most recent abomination of a film called Fantastic Four, Marvel actually had approached them and offered them the Daredevil property in exchange for Fantastic Four. Because they wanted to introduce those characters into the MCU, not just them, but like some big bads like Galactus and shit.
Yeah.
And Fox turned them down, and now we have the complete and total clusterfuck that is the Fantastic Four.
And
again,
probably the best incarnation of Daredevil, you know, on screen.
Yeah.
Well, undoubtedly, actually, there was this, and or there was the Affleck movie, and I think there was a show way back, probably a short-lived show, but
Daredevil was also a featured character in one of the Lou Ferrigno Incredible Hulk made-for-TV movies.
Yeah, maybe that's
because Matt Murdock was his lawyer in Trial of the Incredible Hulk.
Yeah. So, I think that just kind of goes to show you the difference between the two companies. We got the Fantastic Four movie from Fox, which is absolute shit, and then we've got Daredevil from Marvel, which is amazing. So,
have you watched it yet?
I haven't.
Yeah, we've got it now.
I'm just taking absolutely everybody else's word for it at this point.
Yeah, we've got it now. We just haven't watched it. So,
yeah, maybe we'll watch it. I don't know. I think it's safe to say we probably shouldn't make that one a drinking game.
No. No, because I don't want to have to go to the hospital.
Still kind of recovering from the episode 2 review we did.
They're going to get better. Not that you've heard any of them so far, but they're going to get better. Speaking of Fantastic Four, Fox produced another shitstorm recently in Pan. Apparently, Pan is estimated to take a possible loss of $150 million.
Yeah, and I mainly just threw it in there because we were talking about how terrible Fantastic Four did, and then this movie came out and was like, nope. Here you go, boys. You can feel better about yourself now. So, anyway, moving on. Did you see Kingsman?
I did not.
It's on Redbox now. Check it out. Kingsman, actually, I really liked. I saw it, and I don't remember why I saw it, because it was a completely forgettable. I think I maybe saw half of a trailer for it at some point, but I watched it, and I really enjoyed the movie, so I was really excited to see that we've got a new Kingsman movie coming out in 2017.
Right on. I'll have to check out the first one. I know that you watched another movie pretty recently it's not in the show notes, but and it's not a movie that you hadn't seen before, but you developed a new appreciation of it because I watched your string of tweets.
Yeah.
And I'm not talking about Man of Steel, actually, for whatever reason, but The Watchmen, you recently tweeted about having seen The Watchmen again recently.
Again, I don't know really why I did it, but I was just sitting down and I was like, I'm going to watch Watchmen again. I really actually liked that movie, I think. When it first came out, I found it kind of lackluster. But watching it again, I really, really enjoyed that. And it makes a little bit of sense now seeing where Snyder is at today. Because
mm-hmm.
Watchmen, I think, Snyder's done a lot of stuff. But the movies that everybody knows him from are, of course, 300, which is probably the one that really put him on the map. And then he did Watchmen shortly after. He did the, what was it? The movie with the killer blonde chick.
Sucker Punch.
Sucker Punch, which kind of sucked. I mean, it's in the title, but it kind of sucked. Although, you know, kind of a feast for the eyes. And then, of course, Man of Steel. But anyway, I think that's maybe what it was. I was thinking about Man of Steel, and I'd watched that pretty recently, too. So I checked out Watchmen again, and I really enjoyed that movie. There's a lot of stuff that I didn't quite catch the first time around, or that didn't strike me as being really, you know, great the first time around. But it is a really pretty solid movie. If you read the book, which if you haven't read Watchmen, it is probably one of the all-time best comics to read. So go check that out.
I actually still have a few of the issues from the original run.
Yeah.
So
so Watchmen's an absolutely amazing book, but he did a really good job with what I would say is a really, really difficult to film movie. So
yeah. And if Kevin Smith didn't convince you of what you can do with a black and white camera with Clerks, just look at any of Zack Snyder's recent movies.
Well,
Watchmen's actually better. He uses more color in Watchmen than in any of the other movies that I've seen him do.
And there's a really deliberate use of color in Watchmen that I really liked. And it's really saturation. When we're talking about Man of Steel and being in black and white, we're really talking about saturation levels. Zack Snyder messes with the color saturation in all of his movies to some degree. That's why I think that's why Zack Snyder, you know, I don't want to say he's a one-trick pony, but it's definitely one of the things that really makes a Zack Snyder film feel like a Zack Snyder film to me. So, yeah, go check out Watchmen, because I thought he did really well with that overall, actually. And the movie's been out forever now, so.
And for those of you following at home, take a drink.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
I also watched Man of Steel again, and I, you know what? Haters can hate. I actually really like Man of Steel.
It's a good movie.
I
just wish it was in color.
It's got some problems. I do wish that he would have gone brighter with, you know, and again, it doesn't necessarily need to be everything, but I do wish, especially
Supes
was brighter.
Yeah.
And I do wish there's a couple of really good scenes actually where they do highlight some of the brightness of Superman, maybe with, you know, the way they use lens flares and stuff like that. And, you know, particularly his first flight is one of the brighter scenes in the movie. But they could have, I think if they would have given a little bit more thought to the color saturation and things like that there, I think it would have looked and felt a little bit more like a Superman movie.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Other Hollywood news, we've got Super Troopers 2, which is now filming. It is in production.
You've got to have seen Super Troopers.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. Of course we have, Meow.
Yeah, I hadn't seen Kingsman, but what am I, fucking retarded?
Yeah, okay, just making sure. So, anyway, there's not really a whole lot to talk about there other than that, of course, Super Troopers is great. And I use every opportunity I can to throw out Super Troopers jokes.
Yeah, the boys of Broken Lizard are funny as hell, and... I think we only have this movie due to the overwhelming success of crowdfunding these days. Because I think that's how they did it. Yeah. Speaking of crowdfunding, look for something from us coming up pretty soon too. Because even though I got a new mic pretty recently, there's way more equipment that we need, and we want you guys to pay for it. So,
like professionals.
Yeah.
So anyway, you know, you were talking about crowdfunding, the thought that I had was, how does Super Troopers not find funding?
I don't know, because it's, I mean, I don't know that it did that well theatrically, but I'm sure the cult following is huge.
Yeah, I'm sure it's not a box office blow away or anything like that, but it's not an expensive movie. I'm sure that movie didn't cost more than a few million dollars to make, which in today's, you know, movie making parlance is chump change.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm pretty sure that if you've ever had the thought "Who wants a mustache ride?" run through your head, you owe Super Troopers and
like a quarter or something,
like a nickel or a quarter or something. Yeah,
yeah, they should be able to get enough funding off of just, you know, callbacks to the jokes from Super Troopers.
Yeah.
So, and now that you mentioned that, I'm sure it probably didn't actually do too well theatrically, because I remember seeing trailers and, you know, we were talking about going and seeing, and we're like, no, that movie looks stupid. But it, of course, was like one of the funniest things ever.
Yeah. I mean, and this is just an aside, because Eddie and I have done our fair share of time behind a fast food counter, and that whole scene where Farva just like leaps over the counter at the dude, and I was just like, that was probably me he was mad at. So
every part of that was brilliant.
Yeah. Yeah. So what else we got? Sherlock.
Sherlock. So we're getting a Sherlock Christmas special, I believe. I think it's a Christmas special. I could be wrong. I don't remember. But we're getting a Sherlock special. We're getting a movie-length Sherlock, which they really all have been. Yeah, so that's not really much of a headline. And it looks to be set in Victorian England. So this is going to be somewhat of another, you know, sort of episode in a bottle sort of situation.
Now, this is something I actually read about several months ago. So it doesn't just look to be set back in Victorian times. It is actually set in Victorian times. However, the writer, director, the creative team has refused to tell anybody why at this point. It just is their answer. So
it wouldn't surprise me if that is the answer.
Yeah. But we won't be surprised if there's no explanation whatsoever. And that's just what we
get. I could see them just saying, we wanted to tell the old Sherlock story, the old style anyway. Deal with it.
Yeah. And honestly, anybody who's not seen Sherlock, which is a BBC series, it is really phenomenal. The acting in it is superb. You have Khan Noonien Singh as Sherlock Holmes. You have Bilbo Baggins as Watson. Not in character. I mean, it's not like Watson's walking around with big hairy feet or anything like that. Yeah. But it's just those two actors alone are amazing. So
See, this is another interesting thing. If you get a chance to see why you're seeing them in so many things, because Sherlock was really, I think, the genesis for both of their popularity. Certainly, Benny Cumberbatch wasn't big enough to land the roles he's landing now.
He had no Cumberbitches.
Nope. There were no Cumberbitches at all. There might have been just like one Cumberbitch somewhere.
Somewhere.
We don't know. And of course... Martin Freeman actually has been in some other stuff too. Like, you might have saw him in the not so great adaptation of Hitchhiker's Guide a few years back.
Yeah.
But
which I didn't hate necessarily. It just wasn't the best thing they could have done with it.
I didn't hate it. Yeah, it just wasn't very good. But anyway, Martin Freeman since has, you know, of course, landed the titular role as the Hobbit, and we've seen him in some other stuff since. And it's all pretty awesome, so.
Yeah, Yeah, no, I'm looking forward to it. I am actually not completely caught up on Sherlock Holmes, the series, anyway. So I need to actually finish watching a bunch of those before the new one comes out.
Yeah.
So we got one other media pop culture thing to talk about, and that is Eddie has finally watched Mad Max Fury Road.
I know, it took me long enough.
Yeah. Like, I'm pretty sure they're done with the next one now.
Finally, after my wife, you know, saying, no, I want to watch that too. We should watch that together for like the last 3 fucking months or something like that. She's just like, all right, you just watch it on your own.
He's like, no, that looks stupid.
Yeah. Well, I think it was kind of like, babe, I really want to watch this movie. Either we're watching this movie or just I'm going to watch it when I feel like it.
My wife really wanted to see it too. And then she realized there wasn't really dialogue in it. No. And then she was not interested.
No.
Unfortunately, by that point, we were already watching it. So yeah. It's like, well, whatever.
Deal with it.
Yeah.
So there are so many things. First off, this movie is fucking gorgeous, which I'd heard everybody say that prior to actually seeing the movie, which is also counterintuitive because the sets in this, like, there are no sets. Like, it's desert and then more desert
and cars.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But this movie is just gorgeous. I love the way that it looks and feels.
From a cinematography standpoint, like, I don't know that in the recent past that I've seen a better looking movie.
Yeah. This also falls in our, I think I actually saw a clip from, we linked a few episodes back to the good CGI versus bad CGI and how good CGI is usually just CGI you don't notice. And I think that Fury Road was included in there as an example for one or more scenes. And I saw a lot of that in the movie. Like, the CGI is very good because they mix CGI and practical effects very, very well in the movie.
Speaking of the effects and practical effects, did you watch the Blu-ray or did you watch the digital download?
I think the digital download.
So the Blu-ray actually has a documentary that runs through the biggest explosions and stuff. And
oh,
all
of
the huge explosions, practical, all of them. Like, they basically, it was like, okay, you got one shot, go do it.
See, that to me really showed in the movie, because there's obviously places where they had to use CG, but the explosions to me looked and felt very real, which, you know, of course, is because they were. So that part was definitely amazing. That's one of the things that I was going to mention, but I wasn't sure if I'd be wrong about it or not. Anyway, so that's good. The other thing too, it really is like, go back to the Road Warrior. It feels very much like the Road Warrior in the best way. Like, Thunderdome was a little retarded. Mad Max, the original, is almost a different genre of movies entirely.
Yeah, that's hard to watch these days. Mad Max, the original Mad Max, doesn't necessarily hold up other than that it is the movie that started the whole franchise.
Yeah.
And when I say the whole franchise, it gave us the Road Warrior.
Yeah, essentially. It's the movie that got us to a place where we could have the Road Warrior. So it feels like the Road Warrior in the absolute best ways. The other thing I want to talk about is another, you know, here's how, again, fuck you, Supergirl. Here's how you show feminism on screen, which is to say, you just do it. There's not any overt, and I didn't think about it until after the fact, or maybe until I read something about it, which again is the best way, I think, if you want to popularize an idea or something like that, it is so that it's not so completely in your face that I think about it, have enough time if I'm the type of person to decide I want to reject that and instead just see it and let it be natural. So they did that on this movie, I think, really, really well in certain places. So
no, I would agree with that. They did it super good. And here's another interesting little piece of trivia. The bad guy is also the same actor who played the main bad guy in the original Mad Max.
Nice.
Not the same character, obviously, but
no.
Same actor playing two different characters in the same franchise. And I mean, I would say killing it, but I mean, I don't really know what else you could do.
No.
Given the role that he had in Fury Road, because you didn't see his face the entire time because he had that weird
yell shit and shake your arms.
Yeah. Yeah. And have really bad skin.
Yep. So this is definitely, I think, going to be one of my favorite movies of the year. You should see it if you haven't seen it yet, and your wife won't let you, just fucking do it anyway, because it's a really good movie. That said, the last thing I think that is interesting to me is there is not a lot of dialogue in the movie at all. It is a good action movie, from start to finish. I mean, it is just the definition of balls to the wall, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. What did you, or how did you feel about Tom Hardy as taking over the role of Max.
Oh, he was great.
Yeah.
Like Tom Hardy, I think is probably one of the better actors working today.
It's really weird how you can put him in a position where he's got his face covered up a good portion of the time, and he's still, I mean, you can tell it's him, like from Bane in The Dark Knight, and then, or Dark Knight Rises, and then to the funky get up that he's got when he's just basically a blood donor for some creepy little cancer patient.
Yeah.
Who was played by Beast.
Yeah. That one was bothering me for a few minutes in the movie. Yeah, I was like, Nicholas Holt. It's Beast.
Yeah. Nicholas Holt. He is actually really good in the movie too. So Charlize Theron's really good in the movie. There's a whole lot of good from Fury Road. So
yeah. Shall we? Oh, I put one little piece of tech news in here.
So here's what we're going to tell our regular listeners.
Yeah.
If you like the pop culture aspect of it, great. We're done with that, though. So we're going to get in some tech speak. So if you don't want to listen to tech speak, feel free to tune out. But
I don't think this is going to take a super long time, but you could go grab a beer and come back and we'll probably be done.
I don't know if it's going to take a while or not, because we're going to talk. I'm going to talk a little bit of tech that's not in the show notes as well.
All right, cool.
So
let's go to it. So the first thing that we have in there that we'll put in the thing is Microsoft Surface Book was recently announced. I don't think released yet, but recently announced. And when I say recent, I mean this is probably 2 or 3 weeks old now. So, which is 4 weeks, but probably by the time you get this episode. But the Surface Book to me looks like a really interesting product, because it takes a lot of the best things about the Surface and a lot of the best things about a good laptop, like say a MacBook, and sort of combines them. There are some definite major trade-offs here. Like, first off, this product is sort of a hybrid. Like, you can pick it up and use it as a tablet with no screen or no keyboard attached, or you could set it basically on its like base thing, which is a keyboard with, you know, powerful processor and you know, big hard drives and stuff like that. Or, you know, just pick it up and use it as a tablet. So
you can even listen to Luna lean against the door and scratch herself.
Yep. On it, you could do that on this very podcast, listening to it on your new Surface Book.
Yeah. It's about the size of an Ultrabook when it's got its screen docked with its other body.
Yeah.
And all that crap. Yeah. No, I think it's probably going to be one of the first successful hybrids, I think. And I say successful, because here's the problem. It starts out at like $1,500, and if you want it fully loaded, you're paying $3,000.
Most likely.
It's right there in black and white in the article you're going to post.
Oh, perfect. Which I'm totally looking at right now, because I'm a good host. There are some obvious trade-offs here. Like when you pick it up and use it in like quote-unquote tablet mode, one of the downsides is that most of the battery is in the keyboard docky part. So tablet mode gets, you know, actually kind of shit battery life when compared to, say, a regular tablet like an iPad or a whatever the fuck, Galaxy Tab or Android tablet of some sort, which, you know, are averaging probably, I'd say, 10 hours on the low end nowadays. So doesn't get the battery life when you pick it up and use it in tablet mode. So that's a bit of a compromise. And there's some odd things about construction wise, like some, you know, just kind of design trade-offs with how they did the hinge and things like that. But, to me, it looks like an interesting product, because when it comes down to it, the only reason I like having such long battery life in my iPad is because I use it often with a keyboard or something like that. So that to me isn't too much of a trade-off, but still being able to pick it up off the dock and go read comics or something like that, or go and, watch a movie on the couch or something, you know, comfortably. 4 or 5 hours to me seems like that would probably work out just fine. So
yeah. And we have good news too, which is that it is actually available now. They opened up for pre-orders on the 7th of October, and they shipped a couple days ago on the 26th.
Nice.
So
once again, pros over here doing my homework. Yeah.
That's what I'm here for. So several episodes ago we talked about the new Skylake processors from Intel.
Yeah.
And how I really wanted to build one.
Yeah.
And I'm going to do that this week.
Nice.
Not here. It's for work.
Yeah. But
there's actually 6, if not 7 or 8 of the Skylake processors for desktop that are available now.
Right.
So you can pick one up as low as $189 for an i5, which is actually a relatively decent deal.
No, that's, I'm pretty sure that's what I paid for. I think it's pre-Haswell Ivy Bridge.
Ivy or Sandy? One of the
two? Either Ivy or Sandy. I think mine might be Sandy. I have a Sandy Bridge i5, and I think it was right under $200. So that's maintaining, I think, pretty well with what you'd expect. So
yeah, I think the most expensive of the i5s is like $269, and maybe $89. I don't remember exactly, but it's under $300.
Yeah.
And that's going to get you a 6 meg level 2 cache along with a 3.5 gigahertz processor. And that's the unlocked one. So you can overclock on that one. The so far the first two processors that were released, the i5 and the i7, are the only unlocked multiplier processors for Skylake. So all the other, like the lower end models, if there is a lower end to them, they're not unlocked, so you're not going to overclock those.
Bummer.
But even the most expensive i7 unlocked processor is like $400 at this point, so it's not cheap, but it's also not impossible if you want a really solid overclocking rig. So
that's definitely into enthusiast territory as far as pricing goes.
Yeah,
but
I'm not gonna build one of those.
That's not into the like how the fuck do you have so much money category. Like
I'm gonna build a small box, because right now we do a lot of webinars and stuff at work, and we have to basically set up a laptop and a projector and all that other crap to do it. And so the object here is we're actually gonna replace the projector screen in the conference room with a giant 60-inch flat screen, and there's gonna be a box on the wall next to it with a Bluetooth keyboard, mouse, all that good stuff.
Is it like a 4K screen?
We're not gonna get a 4K screen.
Well, what I'm thinking is, and I don't want to wreck your fun now, but why are you guys using a Skylake processor for something like that? Why don't you just go with like a the compute stick we talked about a few episodes back, or there was another Windows 10 jobby around $150.
So here's
that just came out too.
Here's the thing with the compute stick, it's really slow.
Yeah.
If you're only doing a webinar or something like that, that's fine. But a lot of our conference rooms that need setups and stuff like that will also use several Excel spreadsheets that they'll pull up and things like that. And the compute stick isn't at this point
beefy enough for all the multitasking you wanted to do.
Yeah. And the reason we're going to go with the Skylake is because we're going to start white boxing computers for our staff as well. And the standard that we're setting is to use Skylake with DDR4 RAM so that we can have uniform parts all across campus.
Yeah.
So
make upgrade paths easier and things like that.
Yeah, exactly. This will be in a small box, though. I think we're going to do it. I think it's a micro ATX.
Nice.
So
those are kind of fun builds, actually.
I hate it because I hate cable management. So, like, for me, like, the bigger the case, the better, because then I can just hide it somewhere.
Shove it all in the backside of the... Yeah, those are fun. First off, when you're doing something like that for work, I don't know that you necessarily need to spend a lot of time on cable management or anything like that, or going with modular PSUs and threading your cables and all that shit.
My boss is kind of a prick about it. So.
Oh, really?
Well, I usually just put everything together and I give it to him, and he cables it all. But.
Oh, that's cool. Because some of that I actually like doing. Like, I like doing some of that stuff just to see how cool you can get it to come out to look. But anywho.
Yeah. So that's my tech speak for the week.
Yeah. And mine too. I thought I'd bring up, we talked about the Microsoft Surface and how I thought the iPad Pro was really kind of selling me more and more on a Surface. And then they announced the Surface Book, and I was like, well, if I had $1,500, that's probably the machine I'd go with right now.
Yeah, for sure. So we need equipment.
Yeah.
The next piece of equipment we're looking to upgrade to is going to be a new mixer. It's going to run us about $100, which is actually relatively cheap. So keep an eye out, because there's going to be a couple crowdfunding options coming your way, or if you see us on the street and you're like, hey, here's $100, we won't turn it down.
True. We'll talk more at the end of the show, because we got another big piece of news coming up.
Oh, did I blew the money shot.
We did. You did. A little premature. We'll get there.
So if you're still hanging on after the slight tech speak tangent, we have Star Wars news.
The best Star Wars news, in fact. So the Star Wars news we have for you this week is probably not news at this point. And if you're listening to this show, you've probably seen it, but we have to talk about it. And that is, number one, the new Force Awakens trailer has just come out, which I believe is the final trailer.
Yes.
Which, if you're one of those people that's avoiding absolutely everything you can about this movie because you don't want to have it spoiled, unless you're super vehemently doing it, you're probably still safe to watch this trailer. You're not safe to listen to the next, say, 20 minutes of the show, though, because I think some of the things that I'm going to talk about definitely get into spoiler territory, if you believe my incoherent ramblings.
Dude, I don't see how we could spoil anything, because we know even watching the trailer, like, you don't know.
No.
You do know that Jedi, Dark Side, it's real.
That's true. Mr. Ford. For references that you don't get on the show, you might try checking out another podcast we like called Hollywood Babylon. I'll leave it there.
I just did a really terrible impression of a really good impression of Harrison Ford.
No, the terrible impression is the impression. Like that's, you know, Garmin. That's exactly how Garmin would have done it. Terrible.
Yeah.
I've never been able to understand a single fucking thing he said as Harrison Ford, which is the
except
intent.
Except for the, like,
so,
the last word.
Yeah.
It's always the last word.
Yep. Okay, so we have a new Force Awakens trailer, and there's so much cool shit in there, which is amazing because it gives away nothing, I think.
You know what else we have?
What's that?
Tickets to the opening show, which if you guys don't have them, you're probably not going to, but oh well, we do.
Yeah, suck on that. And that's because, of course, ticket pre-orders opened this last week or something like that.
2 weeks ago, I think.
Yeah, if you didn't get pre-orders by now, you're screwed. Sorry. But it's going to have probably a really super long theater run, so you'll get to see it at some point.
Yeah, and I was really, really kind of bummed because they were doing a, and I forget which theater it is. I'm assuming it's down in California somewhere, but the Nerdist posted a link to tickets for the marathon screening that they're doing. And it was actually only $50.
Really?
Yeah, it was ridiculous.
That's a solid price for that.
Yeah, because I'm pretty sure it included this movie as well.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, dude, that's like a no-brainer then.
Yeah.
I mean, if you've got like 14 hours to kill.
More.
Probably more.
Because it had an 18 for just, I mean, if you're thinking like brief intermissions between films,
yeah,
it'd been 18 hours just for the first six movies.
So if you've got basically an entire day and $50, that's a good way to spend it, I think.
Also an ample supply of crystal meth.
Yeah.
Not
Adderall,
that,
maybe.
Not that, I mean, those movies will put you to sleep, but.
The first three might.
Yeah, I'm going to guess they're going to start with episode one.
Yeah,
for
probably.
The same reason we started in that order with our roundtable discussions.
Because I think if they started with episode four, everybody would just get up and leave around 1 through 3, come back.
Be like, we'll be back. Save our seats.
Yeah. We have lots of coats in the theater and that's it.
Yeah.
Okay, so the Force Awakens trailer. Initial thoughts or impressions?
No Luke. That was my first real big revelation. The first time we've also seen Leia throughout this whole process was in this trailer, and it was just for like a second where she's like, oh my God, this is terrible, and she hugs Han.
Yeah.
She didn't actually say, oh my God, this is terrible. That was just the look on her face, because she's a fucking actor, all right?
Yeah. So I think I'm fine with that, because I don't think that, I think that definitely the older characters are going to be in these movies, and I think that that's going to be well done, but I don't think they're going to be the focus of this story. So I think for trailers, you know, they got an appropriate amount of screen time. Luke is definitely the question mark. And every interviewer, anything that I've seen anybody give, is being very cryptic about why we don't see Luke on the poster for the movie or in the trailer. I suspect that's going to be a plot point somehow in there. I have no theory. I only really have one theory, which is that Luke's kind of off on sabbatical, essentially. And we don't see Luke until the end when he recruits. And then this is my pet theory. Ready for a rabbit hole? We've got two. I think we have at least two Force users on the light side coming in this movie.
So you think...
I think the chick is definitely... God, what's her name? Daisy? No, not Daisy. That's her real name. Daisy Ridley, I think, is a real name.
Yeah, I haven't actually looked at any of the IMDb stuff or anything like that.
Yeah, I'm kind of avoiding it too. But... I think that she is actually, obviously, first off, Luke is not black in any way, shape, or form.
Right.
And neither are any of the family members that we've seen. So I think that kind of rules out the black guy. I forget his name. I'm sorry. I don't know the names of anybody except for Kylo Ren, because that's the one I've seen enough times in other things.
And he's on my jammies.
Yeah. He seems to be an obvious, likely candidate to be a Force user. In there somewhere. But I think the girl is also going to be a Force user. And I don't know how exactly she's going to be related to Luke, but I heavily think that she's very likely to be related to Luke in some way. And I think in one of the first teaser, you hear Luke saying, sort of the overdub part where he says,
"You have that power."
Yeah.
Yeah.
My father had it. I have it. Yeah. You have it. That, I think, is definitely him talking to the girl character.
Yeah. Doesn't necessarily mean that she's his kid, but it could be his niece. Could be
something.
Leia's kid.
Yeah. In fact, that is probably the most likely. My sister had it. He does say that, doesn't he? My sister has it.
Yeah.
I think that is probably definitely the most likely, and I think that's a big reason why we don't see Luke in this, because I don't think that happens until the end of the movie. First off, I'm not sure if those lines are going to be delivered on screen, but I don't think that reveal is going to come until the end of the movie.
I gotta wonder about this whole thing. Like, is he even in most of the movie? Is he missing through most of the movie? Like, has he gone on some weird journey? You know, is he dead?
I think that I don't think he's going to be dead. And the only thing that I have leading me to believe that is that I would be very, very surprised if in the teaser we saw for the first one where they've got the obvious robot hand patting R2
right
in the black hood. I'd be very, very surprised if that's not Luke. And I think that's going to be Luke coming back towards the end of this movie.
We did see a reveal of his face at one point, either in the first teaser or the second.
Yeah.
Where he takes his robe off and he's a big old bearded Luke.
Yeah.
So.
But I definitely.
Luke's not big, but big beard.
But I definitely think that we're going to get two. And the reason, first off, there's a lot of reasons I think that. A is because they show the black guy holding the lightsaber and it doesn't look like he's a chump. Like, it doesn't look like he just picked it up or something like that. It looks like he at least has a tiny amount of training. We see him, you know, about to shit his pants right before he goes after Kylo, but which is probably an appropriate reaction if you have very little training, but I think he's definitely force sensitive. But the other reason I think that we're going to get two here is we've got essentially one known Jedi in the Star Wars universe at this point, and that's Luke.
Right.
And I think that a part of this, and the title, The Force Awakens, leads this to that whole idea, I think, that they're going to be starting to rebuild the Jedi in this movie.
Way later than if you read any of the you know, written series, the books and extended universe stuff, because they did that essentially within 5 years of the Emperor falling in the book series, and this is obviously 20-30 years later, because the characters are, I mean, they didn't do anything with the characters to try and make them look like they did 20-30 years ago. This is a natural progression for them.
Yeah.
So
it wouldn't surprise me at all if Luke has been on, you know, some sort of quasi-vision quest or sequestering himself off like Obi-Wan did at the beginning of episode four. Yeah, essentially. And sort of reluctantly trying to decide if he was going to come back and teach Han and Leia's kid how to use the Force and be a Jedi. And I'm really leaning towards that being, or that's my predominant theory right now, that is probably Han and Leia's kid. Probably in hiding for some reason. Maybe they're still active in the rebellion, because this is another, you know, obviously we've seen from the trailer, the Empire still has a big presence.
Yeah. Yeah. Again, if you read any of the extended universe books and stuff like that, when the Emperor fell in the book series, you know, at the end of Jedi, that was pretty much it. There was a small remnant left that they took care of in the original Thrawn trilogy. And then after that, it was all the New Republic from there forward. And then this, we're still dealing, you know, 20-30 years later, we still have a very, very much, do we have an Imperial presence, either led or manipulated by Kylo Ren at this point.
Which makes a lot of sense, because if you think about something the size of the Galactic Empire, like, let's just say tomorrow you killed the President of the United States, or let's say he took dictatorial powers and you killed the President, somebody's going to fill that vacuum, and the whole culture of the country is not going to change overnight.
Right.
So it makes sense to me that we still have some Galactic Empire presence at this point.
There was still Star Destroyers around. There was still TIE fighters and, you know, people very much committed to the cause of the Empire. So,
but we do see, I think, evidence that the rebellion has been somewhat successful and the rebellion's grown, which you see through the, you know, fallen remnants of Star Destroyers and stuff like that. So,
yeah.
Which also, if you go back and watch the trailer, it opens on the girl whose name I can't remember, sort of descending through a Star Destroyer, which it looks like it's oriented in the wrong direction, and you can see that it's a Star Destroyer because of the shapes of the doors and passageways and things like that. So
yeah, I'm so stoked for this movie.
I am too. You know who else is? Harrison Ford. I put another thing in the show notes, and first off, you got to take this with a little bit of grain of salt, but I felt some genuine enthusiasm here. Harrison Ford was on Kimmel recently, and he said something along the lines of, you know, after Kimmel's asking him questions and trying to get stuff out of him about Star Wars, he basically said, no, it's really good. The movie is really, really good. You're all going to be really happy with what JJ did with this, this movie. Which, you know, take it with a grain of salt, because I don't usually see actors going on tour saying,
yeah, this movie sucked.
Yeah. Don't just, you know, maybe don't go watch this one. Like Kevin Smith and Jersey Girl. Just kidding. Again, Hollywood Babylon, everyone. So anyway, this movie looks phenomenal, and it's hitting so many of the right buttons so far. Like, I really don't want to be wrong, because I've been hurt before, but
That's you, Phantom Menace.
Yeah.
You cut us deep.
Yep. Everything coming out of this so far just looks like they absolutely get what Star Wars is and are doing their best to make a good movie out of it. So
I think having the original cast on board probably is lending quite a bit. And again, even though they may not be the focus, they're there. So it's not like you can have one movie and then have them show up and it turns into a different movie. Like, you've got to make the whole movie have that same feel to it.
Well,
you know what I mean?
You know, I mean, yeah, if you want to do it right, I think you do. But, you know, history's shown they don't have to. I mean, they miss so many things. They miss so many things about what made Star Wars good in the first, you know, the prequel trilogy, that you don't have to. But everything I've seen coming out of it so far, which admittedly is not much. I mean, we've only got a handful of teasers at most, a few posters and you know, rumors and a behind-the-scenes featurette.
The behind-the-scenes featurette, though, it's what sold me.
Yeah, definitely.
Because everybody that was in that featurette looked like they were just super stoked to be there.
Yeah, and it wasn't that fake, like, you know, the whole we're being paid, so we're going to pretend we're happy to be here. Like, it genuinely looked like the thing that comes to mind is Firefly. Like, you can talk to basically anybody that worked on Firefly, and everybody fucking loved doing that show.
Yeah.
And it exudes, if you watch any of the behind the scenes things at all from Firefly, this to me very much felt like that. Like, everybody knows what they're doing is going to be pretty good. Everybody loves what they're doing. Everybody's really into it. You know, it you know, I don't know. I think the difference is that for somebody like JJ, or, you know, all of these actors that are getting to play in the Star Wars movie, that's like hitting the lottery. For, you know, if you were a kid and you watch these movies and suddenly get, if I got any part of making these movies, I'd feel like I hit the jackpot, you know?
Yeah.
So, and treating it with that sort of reverence is, you know, what we want as fans. So anywho, so that's the show.
Go get your tickets if you haven't gotten tickets.
Yeah.
Now, you may not get the opening show, but go to the next one.
Yeah. I'm already buying my second set. So, or I will be soon.
Yeah, I think my wife's planning on taking maybe my kids to go see it without me, since I'm going with you guys.
Cool.
Whatever. It's not like I'm not going to see it four times anyway.
Yeah, I was just going to say, because Ashley said the same thing. You're going to go see it with Matt first. And I was like, yeah. He loves Star Wars way more than you ever will.
Plus, we just kind of lucked out where Bryce's brother was like, hey, I'll buy our tickets. And yeah. I was like, fuck yeah, you will.
Do it. Of course, and I was like, but yeah, it also doesn't matter, because I'm going to see this at least, you know, three or four times. So we can go to one of them together, I'm sure. All right, everybody, that is the show for this week. So we were talking about this before, but look out soon. We are going to do some crowdsourcing or crowdfunding. Our needs are very small at this point. We have grand ideas and grand plans for what we'd like to do with the show, but we need to get our feet wet a little bit more. We did upgrade the equipment a little this week, and hopefully you guys have noticed that in the sound quality of the last episode, or maybe the last couple of episodes, because we've been trying to get better stuff to make a better show for you guys. And we want to do more of that. So the rig we have is still very, very, very beginner level, and we'd like to go bigger with that. We've also got some other ideas in the pipeline, you know, depending on how much funding we can get. So that's one way you can help us out big time.
If you are Reebok and you're listening to this show, we can guarantee you at least like five.
I'm sure.
Six maybe listens.
Correct, yeah.
A week, maybe.
I mean, I don't want to brag.
And we would love some of that Reebok money.
Yeah, I have no qualms about selling stuff or my body for money. So that of course will help us out. Look out for those. If you want to click any of our affiliate links on Amazon too, we'll try to put up a couple more of those. It's not a lot, but it'd be, you know, great from where we're standing. And then finally, if you don't want to do anything, like if you don't want to give us any money whatsoever, if you're just like, no, a dollar is like a lot. You can just go and tell other people about us. So we've got Facebook and Twitter, and you can find us there. We're Whatevery Show on both. So at Whatevery Show on Twitter, facebook.com/Whatevery Show. We're in iTunes. Probably one of the best things you can do for us right now is go give us some iTunes juice, which means, you know, rate us.
Rate it. Maybe leave a review.
Yeah, leave a
review.
Somebody did. Somebody did. Thanks, buddy.
Somebody that's not even my brother left us a review. I was like, whoa, I'm not related to this guy, I don't think.
Moving on up.
Yeah.
So anyway, give us a review and, you know, tell your friends about it if you think that there's somebody in your life that enjoys nerdy shit like this. So,
yeah, or somebody that just likes listening to two assholes just talk about whatever they want to talk about.
Yeah. Are you like, do you have the sense of humor of a 12-year-old boy and like to make a lot of dick jokes? Right up your alley.
To be fair, we rarely make dick jokes anymore, though.
Yeah,
we could probably do better. That's
we'll try to squeeze in a couple more next week, which is the same thing I told your mother.
We might even actually try and record next week.
Yeah.
All right. Good night, everybody.
Good night.